Hello, welcome back to the David Watson podcast. In today's episode, I spoke with a lady who effectively had been conned by another guy. And it's not unknown, is it? And when this happens, there is a danger of what somebody can do to somebody else, that manipulation and how deep it goes. And Virginia courageously has written a book about her experience. For one of the best reasons ever, to try and help other people. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello, welcome to the David Watson podcast. Very nice to be talking to you again. How are you today?
Thank you. How are you doing today?
I'm very well. And so this is the first podcast that I've ever done where I don't see the person I'm speaking to. So perhaps for those, you could just explain to everybody, where do we begin with this story?
It's a story that I've written, a memoir about how I overcame betrayal in a pathological love relationship. And we like to let people know that there's help out there, and that is one of the reasons why I wrote the book.
So,
entitled "So,"
because obviously we're here to promote the book and talk about the book. But for people out there who a pathological relationship, can you give us a breakdown of what that was for you?
It came on very suddenly. It was a shock when I found out that is the relationship that I was in. Because in the beginning of the relationship with this person, everything was absolutely, it was wonderful. It was all that I could ever have imagined in a relationship, in a love relationship. He made me the person that I would have fallen in love with. He made me feel protected, loved, desired. He fulfilled all my dreams of what a relationship that I thought would be. And he was charismatic. He was so handsome. He had the right thing to say, always at the right time. And then as time went on, I found myself, it was shocking. And it was hard to believe. So that was the hardest part, to believe that we could be so duped. That we could be so fooled, and that was very hard to overcome.
But
it took me a while, but I did it.
Yeah, for sure. But one of the things is you said something there very interesting about how we get duped and we can be fooled, but we realize that in the aftermath, don't we? It's one of the things I think what it is that I've experienced when talking to other people, and I've experienced it a little bit myself. One of the things that is very difficult, and I'm particularly trying to maybe give some hope for somebody that might be in the middle of this situation, that you're not crazy. That these doubts that you have in your mind, these things that you think, did I really hear that? Did I really see that? Did they really do that? They are doing that. It's because, like you say, you kind of, the beginning of the relationship is very much kind of like a love bombing, and you can't believe just how much attention you get, how much they appear to understand you, how they almost finish your sentences. But then there's this kind of strange drop off and change in direction.
I think the change in direction is actually the point where they know that they've got you, that you are where they want you to be, in the relationship that they've gotten you to where they had wanted, that was their goal, and then it doesn't matter. It does not matter anymore after that. They already got you. And it can be financially, which a lot of times it is financially. What you're saying also about, mentioned being duped. I think there are red flags, but I think that we ignore those. And that's what's very difficult, like you just said, that We really are, and it is actually real, even though we sometimes don't want to believe that. But the things in your intuition about, or a person's intuition about, the sometimes doesn't feel right, it could be a woman also, sometimes, but it's more likely to be a man in some relationship, a sociopath. So that's awesome. Kind of like, the I think also what you were saying of why, how you can find yourself in that situation is that you feel so much loyalty from them, and you feel that they're being honest. I think in my relationship, everything that was talked about was we were building a foundation. It was all about trust. And again, and the loyalty, and then that's when all of a sudden, right, they have that. You do have that in you, and then they know, all right, I can do now whatever I want to do. I need that $50,000 for this or $20,000 for that. And a lot of times also they want to keep you away from their family or from friends because they're afraid, they know that those are the people that are in the peripheral that can see that sometimes we can't see. We're in it too much. And those endorphins and as you're saying, the love bombing, it's very difficult to extract ourselves from that once you're already in it.
Yeah, I mean that's a good point, isn't it? Is the avoidance things they do, the elaborate stories were sometimes told, as why you don't see much of their family, why you never get introduced to people. And one of the things that I realized when I've maybe not realized, but the common theme is, and I think this is a common theme in lots of relationships, is you get to a point where, because you trust them, you start to doubt anything that happens in front of you. It's there's almost a blindness, and it doesn't take a great deal for somebody to convince you've got it wrong, because you believe in them so deeply. And not only do you believe in them so deeply, you believe that they couldn't or wouldn't do it to you.
Very true. They and the and also to that point is that when you're in that situation, you feel that your family and friends, if they are like doesn't quite seem right, that they don't know that person like you do. And I didn't want to believe when it came down to seeing a counselor, and I did not want to believe the counselor. I did not want to believe any of my friends that, there's something not quite right about this person. They don't know like I do. And he's wonderful. He's actually brainwashing and an addiction is what I found myself in. Is a real addiction that they know just what to say at the right times, and it's a push and pull also. They love you, and they want you to prove that you love them. And the more that you do that, the more they know they've really got you also. And that was a moment, because I did all that I could to let that person know how much I loved them.
It's true,
And
Nick,
that's
because
all part of that.
even when somebody points it out to you, it's very easy to just, well, you don't know them like I do, because you kind of like love so loved up that it's impossible to see anything else. And there comes this kind of fear that if you don't get the next, like whatever happens, you're so afraid of losing this thing that you think you have, that it just transmutes into every decision you make and inevitably blinds you from seeing what's actually going on.
That is so true. That is very, very true. They really know how. That's all part of the sociopath. The tendencies there, the way they think, that they know, and that, and they, the thing too is that they can, they study a person. They really study what will affect them, what would be, the hopes and dreams are theirs, become theirs, your fears, they know what you're fearful of. And they prey on that. They prey on those things. We, those kind of sociopaths, thinking about life, you know, the next thing that we have to do that day, or our job, or really in the moment where they are in another, what I call, plane of existence, different than what where we're living.
What was the turning point for you when you started to realize, oh, actually, maybe this isn't all I thought it was?
It, a lot of it was the request for money, the idea that he was the victim, that he needed certain things, and that he has whatever context it was, that all the things that he's done, he's knocked himself down, he's done this for you, he's done that for you. Those are things that it was kind of like, now wait a second. First of all, in a relationship, that isn't what we do in a relationship. We do things for the other person. That's where, that was the first thing. Also working with my family, and that was something that was really very, the second thing I think I would say, that when he starts talking about situations that my family aren't thinking correctly, they're not having me doubt. When he started me, trying to get me to doubt those that I love, that was a second thing that kind of like, the first was one, and then the second just, that was really caused me to pause, to like, wait a second, this is not, there's something, there really is something wrong.
What was the process for you? Because there's a point where you go from the denial to, I was about to say accepting the reality, but I don't think that's correct, where you start to see that what you believe isn't true.
That would be when you talk about my family in a very degrading manner, and having me trying to get me to second guess, or to believe that those that I love are not, what they're saying is not true. And I also want to say, too, in my situation, you know, people go, you know, geez, you have to for money, you know, all these different things. Didn't you see that? I've been married before. I do not want another divorce. I wanted this to make this good and right. And, you know, I thought that he'd have things my personal faith in God, in which I did not experience what I had with my first spouse. And so, I think I shoved a lot of things behind, you know, the front of my mind also, because I did not want to go through the whole of the, I didn't want, I didn't want to be a failure. I felt like I was a failure if this didn't work out. And then until it, exactly the reality finally woke me up about not trusting my own family or my support system my entire life. And that was absolutely.
So we've kind of shifted through the dynamics of the love bombing to seeing how they try to manipulate you, the some of the anguish it causes because of the they try to manipulate that separation from the family. But once you see it for what it is, and you kind of navigate your way away from them, which we'll get into with you because obviously you've had to take some really big measures. How did you deal with yourself afterwards?
Once I realized, I'm sorry, is that what you mean? Or after I realized that it was a
Yeah, so you know, when you realize is that you've actually had that break, you know, you realize what's happening and you break up and you pull away. Obviously, you had to take some very specific measures because of the situation you were in. But on a personal level, is how did the, you know, when you've got to rebuild your person, who you are, self-esteem, you've got to try and figure out the fact from the fiction. And but your life in a sense is just chaos. And if you can imagine the kind of the metaphor of chucking the jigsaw, you know, 1,000 pieces up in the air and wherever they land, you've got to find out not just how to put that puzzle back together, but which of the pieces actually belong to you and which of the pieces are no longer anything to do with you.
I would say that the deepest despair and suffering of realizing the situation that I had been in and was out of, to get going forward, I had to look at it to ask myself, not so much why did that happen? Because that is just, you wallow and just like, oh my gosh, why me? And I started looking at it. Well, there's a very well-known saint, that part of you, and he suffered a great deal in his life. But he said this to me that stuck in my head is to ask not why, but to what for? What for? Why did I suffer? Not why, but what good? What happened from it? And so for my own personal thing, I looked at it as I was almost like a tree being pruned to bear more fruit. But sometimes we go through suffering in life, but we come out stronger, we get different character building that we would never have had we not gone through that. But that's hard to look at, but if we can person can really think about what then did I learn from that, which is like other than the horrible realization that this person was a fraud and that was all like meant nothing, that all those years that with somebody who's completely lying. What can you take away from them? And in my circumstance, it helped me to value what I had more than I had, though. I mean, I don't know if I took it for granted, but somewhat. You find that somebody else in my situation wanted so much of what I had that it helped me to like, whoa, wait a second. I need to be more grateful and I need to be much more cautious in not in that circumstance again. But as far as is that was a building block that I needed to really in my mind, okay. This didn't happen for nothing. If you think that is hard. That's hard to get away from the suffering in your mind if you think it. That's just my experience.
How
Did
did
I
you?
answer that question?
Sorry, carry on.
Oh, I don't know if that answered that question.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you. You said something there about, you know, just the building blocks that, where did the courage come from to start trusting yourself again?
I do have a deep faith in God and asking and praying a lot to help me and guide me. And then also, I feel that a lot of resilience, I think, is a word that has always come to my mind of we can be knocked down, but we got to get back up again. And taking things a little bit at a time. I think that also is. I had to sometimes, hour by hour, and I wrote down things on index cards. And when I was really in my deepest despair, I would remind myself of, I'm a good person. I can get through this. You kind of like self-talk yourself, which helped me because there were times where I didn't think I was going to make it. And then, but I'm glad it begins with one step. tell you just to take it a little bit at a time. But to be even on yourself also, I think that sometimes we just get so mad at ourselves or beat ourselves up and why did this happen? And to try not look at it that way is how things anyway.
Yeah, because I mean, self-talk is incredibly important, and the thing about self-talk I find, and when I'm working with others, is that we underestimate how powerful self-talk can be, especially when we've come out of a negative experience and we feel not only kind of wholly responsible for what happened, but like, how naive, how stupid was I that I allowed that to happen to me?
Exactly. It's embarrassing. It's very embarrassing. There's a lot of shame that goes with that. And also, I mean, there's always that family member or friend, like, I told you so, I told you, which is hard to take. And that's where to know that you did get yourself out of that situation. No matter what other people say around you, maybe it took you longer. Maybe you didn't really believe what they said, but you did get out of it. If you can get out of it, that is where you have to just be so thankful that you are not, that it didn't get worse. Because it only gets worse. It just is it. There's so many situations and
I mean, because
people you
is
work
that
with.
is I'm fascinated because you've mentioned being grateful and being thankful to get out of the situation, but there's you're probably the first person I've spoken to who's had that perspective that, like, it's almost is it, I get a sense that there's almost this inner understanding that to get yourself where you need to be, you had to just grasp the small things that you could be grateful for as building blocks to get you somewhere else.
Yeah, that's very true. To get you somewhere else, exactly. No matter how small it is, that is what will help us to go forward in things, in a lot of things in our lives, even if it's not this relationship that I was in. But to see a little positive in something, because it could be worse. It could always be worse, and we don't know that. We don't. Something that we think is so detrimental and awful, it could actually be worse. That's what I have found out, just in my own psyche. That helps me when I work at things sometimes. That, excuse me. Pardon me. Okay.
What's the healing process been like for you now?
Well, to be able to help others, to be able to share my knowledge and educate others. I don't claim I'm not a counselor, I'm not a doctor, anything, but just out of my own experience, is a very good feeling if I can help somebody else in this type of a situation that they can get out of it. But there's help out there, and I think that was the other thing, that there is a lot of organizations. And that people don't realize until they're in this type of a situation that can help them. And that was the main thing. I just really wanted to help others. If I can help one person, it was to no avail what happened to me.
So, when you wrote the book, did you find that the process of writing helped with the healing?
What's interesting is that part of the process only made me, I stopped quite a few times because I was so embarrassed. I embarrassed myself writing it. It's like, oh, because once you come out on the other side, I'm like, how about my book? It was embarrassing. But I kept going, and I think that is what did help then was to write it and to finish it and to be able to see myself kind of in a distance, but separate, on paper, so to speak, that I did come out Eddie came out of it. And it wasn't the only one that that had happened to. And that's a bit another thing. I just could not, once I realized I wasn't the only one that that happened to, that was very helpful also. So I think a lot of times people think they're the only ones in that situation. And that's part of what's so embarrassing.
I think that's one of the hardest things when people are in that relationship is you believe it's only you, and there's a sense of isolation. Even when you come out of that relationship and you've found the courage to take those steps to separate from that person who, without a shadow of a doubt, is going to do everything they can to manipulate you back into the relationship. But when you do actually pull yourself away, you do feel really isolated, and I think sometimes it's that sense of isolation that can make the healing harder.
It does, and they the in this type of a relationship with a sociopath, it's like a sabotage. They and undermining all the things that you say, and that they don't want you to be with other people. Right, find out really what they're about. And that the more that you are isolated, the more that they have control over your mind. And that's a really difficult thing. And that is what I learned also, to never, ever let somebody have so much control over ourselves. We can't do that. We need to still have faith in ourselves that we can get through something. And that's really important to me.
Because one of the common things, and I see this a lot online, is there's boundaries that you can have, say, between a husband and wife, that might be a husband will say to his wife, or it can be a boyfriend says to his girlfriend, if they're living together or whatever, it's like, hang on a second, you're not going to the night, you're not going to the club, you're not going to a nightclub with the girls, we don't do that. You're not going out dressed like that. And that can be the difference between relationship boundaries, where somebody's just like, hang on a second. If I'm in a relationship with you, I expect a standard of behavior. And then there's the, you can't see your family. I want your bank account details. What are you doing with your money? Why aren't you helping me? It's the difference between relationship boundaries and control, because it seems like it should be a massive line, but it's not. It's a fine line.
I think through time in a relationship, it gets very blurred between, oh, I love you. Yeah, I love you. I don't want you to go out, or, as you were saying, because I love you. This is what's best for you. And I think that's a good thing, is that you start to believe that things are better for you than you know your own self. And that's a dangerous place to be in, to not trust in your own instincts. Like, that's, and as you say, those types of things, those are really difficult.
Yeah, because it is. It's, because that word you use, instincts, where it's hard to, I suppose, yeah, it's hard to believe that this person who loves you doesn't want the best for you. And I think people on the outside who've never experienced this don't quite understand how easily it is over a period of time for somebody to manipulate you. Because I think people think that they act in a particular way from the very beginning, and that's not how it works. The person at the end is nothing like the person that you met. And there's these tiny little steps they take where they push up against boundaries. And then if you put a personal sort of boundary in place, like, hang on, I don't accept that, they just back off, like, whoa, 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 you misunderstood. That's not what I meant. And they kind of guilt trip you into reassessing whether you overreacted to something, because they make out it was innocent. And they do that enough to just make you start, once that little seed of self-doubt is set in your mind, it quickly becomes a whole orchard that can be harvested.
It's so true. It's just like 1 minute dripping into can be like a swimming pool. You know, just one drip, drip, drip can just add up to a huge thing. Interesting.
So now that you've written Snowed, and what do you would how do you now help people? One, be like, let's start with how do you make women aware of these situations and how it happened?
My situation started with an online dating type of service. And I got a lot of different dates, just coffee, you know, just people, whatever. So this person, who I had said earlier in the program, was so charismatic and, you know, good looking and yet listened to everything I had to say, you know, just felt an immediate connection. And so, and then I shared a lot of information. I shared a lot about my family, you know, as so person kind of it, we do that so often, you know, we don't know this person and we figure out, well, we can just make it and don't know what I'm talking about. So you really share a lot of information in the very, very beginning of a relationship of things that they are logging in their head. They're logging away all those things that they can use later on to get into your brain and to get into your emotions. So my advisory in my own experience is to be very cautious when you're first meeting somebody, especially with the online or you know, it's so easy for all these people that you meet that not they're not all the same. And I don't mean to like not trust people, but to be cautious with the information in the relationship. You really need to see what this person is about and just you know hold back a little bit, even though a lot of people, oh, why do you want to hold back in a relationship? You know what? There's just people out there that you can't, you think you can trust them, but you can't. So I just, that would be my advice to people. So just be careful of what you say in the beginning. And that's not only my instance. There's been a lot of other examples of that. The Dirty John Netflix situation with the lady. You know, she had a family. They looked at her like this person. And it just doubles also. It snowballs. That would be my advice.
So, do you when you talk to other women, do you find there's common themes?
Themes as far as
With anything, do you see
the
like say maybe the pathological liars that they all have, you know, like a way they approach or a way they talk or a way they love bomb, that's always just like, oh, like that, yeah, he did that to me, and someone else will say, actually, I experienced that as well. You know, are there patterns of behavior?
there are patterns of behavior in this topic with a sociopath. There are patterns. I just was, I'm so sorry. I was thinking about as you said that. It is usually the finding out what your goals are, what your dreams are. That in turn then becomes their dreams and hopes and way of living and what they want as well as what you want. So you think then, oh my gosh, I have met my soulmate. This person, everything I had and want, that person is exactly. Well, it's pretty rare that you would meet somebody that is all of their hopes and dreams are going to be your hopes and dreams. Usually it's complementary, but That is a very common thing in this type of relationship that counseling.
Just lastly, when I just want to turn it around a little bit and ask, do you find that what I'm trying to think of is when I have spoken to some of my own clients when coaching and stuff like that, that there's always no, I suppose I noticed like a pattern of behavior from them where that they maybe have a fear of loneliness. And so I don't that's what I think I'm trying to get to the bottom of and understand a bit better is because the people that I've dealt with can be very, very different, like because it's men and women. They have a tolerance in a sense to the way that people get treated. And you think, oh, right, okay, maybe they're really nice. Maybe they lack self-esteem. Maybe there's personal boundaries. But one of the things I noticed that maybe was closer to a root cause is, and I could be very wrong, so I don't want anyone to listen to this and think that this must apply to them. I always had a sense that they didn't like being on their own.
That is very true. There's a loneliness that people can have, and that person fills that void. And actually, person, a sociopath, that is an what they do identify, I believe, in some people that they would prey on is that they do have a loneliness inside, and that the sociopath knows how to feel that, to prey on that who needs love. They is that like the love bombing, and then it makes them feel special and not alone. And then there's just that is a vicious cycle, because then the more that if they do pull away, then the more that person just could not live, thinks they cannot live without the is actually the fragile.
Do you think it's possible then that because maybe the people that seem to get most affected when this happens, it's because there's a sense of loneliness, but they don't easily get into relationships either, and maybe they feel things more deeply. They feel things more emotionally, like you said that you get love bombed in a particular way where they seem to have all of their dreams and ambitions seem to tie up with everything you've ever wanted, and it's almost like the universe has pulled us together as soulmates and twin flames. That, but are the victims in this case just different types of people to start with? Do you know what I mean? From like, are they the 10% of society that perhaps just feel relationships on a deeper level than most people do, which is why they feel lonely in the first place?
Yes, they and as you were talking, I very true that the loneliness, and it fills a void. But there's also, there's very many smart, well learned, very smart women that have found themselves in this relationship, and they're successful. They have, a lot going for themselves. But then also in that too is that I mean, it hasn't their whole life. So to find somebody, they think that they found somebody that was still an area that has been lacking. The isn't yeah, it's not good. And that's what these people they're very wise and very smart. Who they will get a relationship with also, because they know that there are some women, there are some, again, that can be a man or woman. But they know who this is going to work on also. You know, there's a lot, they'll just go, forget it, you know, the first red flag they see. But then there's those that see red flags and want to have belief and faith in the other person. Which makes it harder when you fall because you did have so much faith and belief in this person. And I think that's in these types of situations, it is very, very hard to overcome betrayal because you have, as you were saying too, exactly, their love is very deep, very sensitive. I always say sensitive is it would
Yeah.
be a good description.
So, just lastly, before I let you go, where are you now in your life? How are things like j just you as an individual and how you feel about yourself and how you feel about the world moving forward? How is everything now?
Everything is good. I do feel so much better. I have overcome that situation, and everything is okay. And with time, things will change. They do. Some things get worse, some things get better. But that is the beauty about time. Things change, and we evolve. And hopefully, we can evolve and look at good things ahead, no matter how small they are. So I'm in a very good spot, and I'm glad because I can now help other people, and that gives me joy and hope that other people could get out of this type of a situation.
That's lovely. Virginia, thank you very much for your time. It's really appreciated.
Thank you so much, David, for having me on your program and to be able to share this. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And there you have it. What can you say? At times, it's so difficult, isn't it? And yet genuinely, if this is happening to you know, reach out in the comments or talk to somebody. You can feel so isolated and it's so incredibly difficult. There are no simple answers, but you aren't actually on your own. The details of how to contact Virginia, the website, the book will be in the description. So thank you very much for listening. Please, wherever you're from, whatever you are going through, and whatever you believe in, please be blessed and take care. And thank you.